This is what the Lord says. Go and buy a clay jar from a potter. Take along some of the elders of the people and of the priests, and go out to the valley of Ben Hinnom, near the entrance to the potsherd gate. There proclaim the words I tell you, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and people of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring a disaster on this place that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. For they have forsaken me and made this a place of foreign gods. They have burnt sacrifices in it to gods that neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah ever knew. And they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. They have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as offerings to Baal, something I did not command or mention, nor did it enter my mind. So beware, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer call this place Topheth, or the valley of Ben Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. In this place I will ruin the plans of Judah and Jerusalem. I will make them fall by the sword before their enemies, at the hands of those who seek their lives. And I will give their carcasses as food to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. I will devastate this city and make it an object of scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff because of all its wounds. I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and daughters, and they will eat one another's flesh during the stress of the siege imposed on them by the enemies who seek their lives. Then break the jars while those who go with you are watching, and say to them, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will smash this nation and this city just as this potter's jar is smashed and cannot be repaired. They will bury the dead in Tophet until there is no more room. This is what I will do to this place and to those who live here, declares the Lord. I will make this city like Topheth. The houses in Jerusalem and those of the kings of Judah will be defiled like this place, Topheth. All the houses where they burned incense on the roofs of all the starry hosts and poured out drink offerings to other gods. Jeremiah then returned from Topheth, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and stood in the court of the Lord's temple, and said to all the people, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on this city and the villages around it every disaster I pronounced against them, because they were stiff-necked and would not listen to my words.
That's the passage that the Lord brought me to early on Wednesday morning, and I reckoned at that stage my Christmas celebrations were over. The title of this message is Shattered. It is just devastating news all the ways through. When Jeremiah spoke this, there was no turning back at this stage. There was no room for turning back. And the reason for that simply was, at the very last part that Martin read, the people refused to repent. And because they refused to repent, there was no turning back from it. What Jeremiah was prophesying actually did happen exactly the way he described. I was taking out the Bibles there, and I was just looking at the page, and it was remarkable how clean the page is in some of the Pew Bibles with Jeremiah. It's not the kind of a passage that anyone goes to look at for a form of encouragement. If you're trying to give God good press, this is not the passage for us, because it is just dire, it's a soft bad, and it just goes from bad to worse. Verses 1 to 3 is where we'll begin with. But before we do that, I read this passage at the beginning. This is a great passage, isn't it? The Lord, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And we hear a great deal about it, and rightly so. Goes on to say in verse 7, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving weaknesses, our wickedness, rebellion, and sin. It would be wonderful if it stopped there. And the truth is, that is where much of modern Christianity stops. Much of what you read stops at that. And all of that is true. Everything that you had, that's exactly the way the Lord is. But there is another side to him. And verse 8 continues as this. Yet he does not leave the guilty go unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations. So the question this morning we'll look at is, what does it look like to end up under God's punishment because of guilt? What does that actually look like? Jeremiah 19 is a very good example of it. These were the people of God gone astray deliberately over a very long period of time. And prophet after prophet was sent to try and bring them back and steer them back. They would have none of it. And eventually, Jeremiah arrives with this message that comes from God. Who would like to be a Jeremiah to bring a message like that? And so the opening verses, he's just instructed by the Lord. And the opening verses is what the Lord says, go and buy a clay jar from the potter, take along some of the elders of the people and of the priests, and go out to the valley of Ben Hinnom near the entrance of the Poshet Gate. There proclaim the words I tell you. So he gathers the influential people of the day and he brings them to the local dump. And the Lord says, when you get there, here is the message I want you to proclaim. People knew that Jeremiah heard from God. There was no question about it. And why they despised what they heard, and he paid a huge price for it. And he, at this stage, gathered up some of the people, and he said, come this way, the Lord has something for us. He buys the pot, and on it goes. I was reading this from the New Living Translation, just slightly different only from the NIV, and because I was reading that, I copied it this way. So it starts with verse 3. Verse 3 says, hear the words of the Lord, O King of Judah and people of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I am going to bring disaster on this place that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. Is there room in your Christianity for a negative message from God? Everywhere I go, all I hear is positivity. Always has to be positive. There is another side to God when it has to do with sin. So there's going to be a disaster coming. And the reason for it, it tells us in verse 5, they have built pagan shrines to Baal, and they have burnt their sons as sacrifice to Baal. They burned them literally alive. We're talking here child sacrifice. Innocent blood was shed in that place over an extended period of time, and it looked like as if nothing was ever going to happen until God speaks to this man Jeremiah, and others like him, by the way, and says, I have seen what is happening, and here is my response to it. Who, as a parent, in their right mind, would take a child and have it burnt alive as an offering to a pagan god? And that's what Baal demanded. Indeed, the Lord says in verse 5, I have never commanded such a horrible deed. It never even crossed my mind to command such a thing. God looks at nations to see how they treat their children. The priest says the place was covered with innocent blood. And it looked like nothing was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, it does. One day, the message just comes. Verse 6, so be aware, for the time is coming, says the Lord, when this garbage dump will no longer be called Tophet, or the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. He's talking death here, and he's not talking of euthanasia. He's talking here of judgment, divine orchestrated judgment on the people of God who deliberately and willingly went astray and refused to come back. The valley of slaughter. Many people follow God and they never expect to hear that from the voice of God, would you? He moves on. For I will upset the careful plans of Judah and Jerusalem. And they had plans, like people do have plans. I will allow the people to be slaughtered by invading armies. We're talking here of God bringing judgment through war. I will leave their dead bodies as food for the vultures and wild animals. They won't even be able to bury them. See, I will allow the people, I will leave their dead bodies. It goes on to say this. I will reduce Jerusalem, which was the place of his residence in the temple, to ruins, making it a monument to their stupidity. They were of the mindset, no matter what I do, it really makes no difference. A dangerous mindset to have, even as a follower of Jesus, not a mind as an enemy of his. It does make a difference. I will reduce Jerusalem to ruins, make it a monument to their stupidity. In warfare, what you have is utter destruction. Now, this is the Lord telling Jeremiah to tell the people this is what he's planning. All who pass by will be astonished and will gasp at the destruction they see there. When judgment comes from God, destruction follows. God does not let sin go unpunished. It's either repented of and forgiven, but if it's not repented of, then the only thing that's going to come is punishment, and it's only a matter of time of when he is going to act. I will see to it that your enemies lay siege to the city until all the food is gone. You're inside the city. This was God's place, by the way. And so what the enemy doing is, obviously, they build a rampart outside. You're protected by the walls within. But they starve you. They're not in any rush. Let their supplies run low. Let them go out of food, and then we'll go. He says, I will see to it that your enemies lay siege to the city until all the food is gone. So now you have the enemy aside. Can you imagine the dread, the terror? And you're starving. How bad does it get? Well, it gets worse. Because he goes on to say this then. Well, those who are trapped inside will eat their own sons, daughters, and friends. We thought we were bad because we couldn't go only 5 kilometers. But we had shops open everywhere. Can you imagine what it'd be like to be in there and starving? And cannibalism is what you're talking about there. People would be so hungry, that's what they'll end up doing. And then to make matters worse, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, they will be driven to utter despair. That seems like 1,000 light years away that I have come to give you life and life to the full. The Lord is gracious, compassionate, forgives the sins of the wicked, but he does not let the guilty go unpunished. Utter despair. Horrendous, isn't it? Imagine to be stuck in there, knowing that God is fighting against you, so you've nowhere to go. It's only a question of how long before they get you and how far you'll have fallen until they actually do come in. And God is behind us. The lads are listening to this, the elders and some of the leaders. And they don't believe, by the way, that God will do this. If you were to ask them their assessment of Jeremiah, probably a crackpot. Mentally unstable. Deranged. And yet they knew that he had this ability to hear from God. So they hear all this news. So now the Lord wants to provide a vivid illustration for them. As these men watch Jeremiah smash the jar you brought. You brought this big jar, put wine in it, water into it, and he smashed it. And of course, it goes into pieces everywhere. Because they're clay. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. As this jar shattered, so I will shatter the people of Judah and Jerusalem beyond all hope of repair. No coming back from this. Absolutely no way back. Only God can say when enough is enough. But a day comes when he said this far and no further. And when that comes, there is nothing that humanity can do at that stage. So I will shatter the people of Judah and Jerusalem beyond all hope of repair. They will bury the bodies here in Topet, the garbage dump, until there's no room for them. The dead will be piled upon top of each other to the point of where it will be absolutely full. They won't be buried, they'll just be piled on top of each other. That's how bad it will be. This is what I will do to this place and its people, says the Lord. I will cause the city to become defiled like Topet. Why? Idolatry and human sacrifice. People had forsaken God, taken up all kinds of new stuff that involved horrendous practices. God said, I will not have any of it. But it went on for an awful long time until he decided to act. Yes, to all the houses in Jerusalem, including the palace of Judah's kings, will become like Topet. All the houses where you burnt incense on rooftops to your starry gods and where liquid offerings were poured out to your idols. God saw what was going on. And these people thought they were sophisticated. They thought they could do what they want, where they want, how they want, and it didn't matter. Until Jeremiah shows up. Then Jeremiah returned from Tohet, the garbage dump where he had delivered the message, and he stopped in front of the temple of the Lord. Picture a big temple, the most prominent place you could find. People are there, and here's what he said. He said to the people there, he said, this is what the Lord of the heavenly armies, the God of Israel, says. I will bring disaster upon this city and its surrounding towns, as I've promised, because you have stubbornly refused to listen to me. You might be asking, how did I arrive at that? Well, actually, I was at Jeremiah 20, and Jeremiah and God were having serious words. And I said, what in the heck caused this to go wrong? And I read chapter 19, we get to chapter 20 at another time. Because this is going to land Jeremiah in a heap of trouble. Applications, food for thought. I could only come up with two. First one is this. As a nation, I'm talking here about Ireland, where do we fit in terms of idolatry and the shedding of innocent blood? As where we are at today, where do we stand in terms of idolatry? That is the worship of other gods and the shedding of innocent blood. That's what got God's attention. And that's where Jeremiah was sent. Can you see? Now, we don't know how long it takes for the justice of God to come, and it's not for me to be pronouncing judgment. But can you see that we think we are so clever and going forward? In actual fact, what we're doing is going back. But who wants to go out and dare and proclaim Jeremiah 19? That's question one. Question two. As a post-Christian nation, do we honestly think we can do as we please and not come under God's judgment? And the answer is, yes, we do. Christian and non-Christian. Precisely the mistake that those people made. They knew there was idolatry. They knew there was the shedding of innocent blood. But they didn't care. Who we worship and who we kill matters to God, and He observes. And kill is the word in terms of who we slaughter or allow to be slaughtered and innocent blood to be shed. The vast majority of people out there today honestly think we can do as we please and not come under God's judgment. Jeremiah 19 is a timely reminder to say that is not true. You cannot do as you please and not come under God's judgment. Or you can do as you please, but you will be held accountable for it under God's jurisdiction. And when He brings judgment, He decides what comes. The very things that they allowed to happen to their young children were the very things that God allowed the enemy do to them. The children were powerless to stop what's happening to them. The God of heaven brought in the army right in to Jerusalem and allowed that army to do exactly what they had done. And so the judgment that they had inflicted and punishment they had inflicted on others was now inflicted on them. The lesson that I learned from it is simply this. You know what was missing in Jeremiah 19 and what's missing in Ireland today? Simply one thing, a lack of fear of God. There is no fear of God anywhere, neither in the church nor in the land. God will hold us accountable for the shedding of innocent blood. And either we repent and get forgiveness, which is available, or the day comes when God says, that's over, that's gone. It's now a day of divine judgment, which is utter destruction, no hope, and complete despair. It seems like I'm talking about a different God, doesn't it? To what you read about in blogs, in books, and what is... There are, of course, who are preaching this. I'm not the only one by any means. But you can see the imbalance, can't you? This sounds so alien. Yet, He is gracious. Yes, He is compassionate. Yes, He is loving, forgiving, rebellion, sin, and wickedness. But does not let the sin, does not let the guilty go unpunished. So children, 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 down to the third, fourth generation, He will act. I think we need to think very seriously about our actions and our attitude that's behind the actions. A dangerous attitude is, it doesn't matter. I can do as I please. Oh, it does matter. And whether we believe in the existence of God, the justice of God, or anything, it makes no difference. Ultimately, because once He decides to act, and He does so on behalf of others, there is no stopping at that stage. You are utterly defenseless. As a nation, I close with this, we are not in a good place. We're heading down the same road that those lads head down. So all we're managing to do is repeat history. How far and how we'll go with that before the Lord intervenes, I do not know. But I know this much, is that where we are and where we're heading, and unless there is a reversal, we'll end up somewhere along the line in judgment, and some people will have to pay for it. All we can do is say, Lord, help us not to be like that. To allow our hearts to go astray, to be indifferent to towards the shedding of innocent blood, and not to be so foolish as to think it doesn't matter. God will hold us accountable. Lord, we just pray, Lord, what can we say as a nation? Lord, we have voted to shed innocent blood. But Lord, we haven't just shed the innocent blood of young children. Lord, we have done it with adults, Lord. Lord, so much bloodshed done through the years, Lord. And Lord, we are so foolish. We honestly think, Lord, this day we can get away with it. Lord, we have thrown off the shackles of religion. And Lord, in doing so, Lord, we are convinced that we don't come under any judgment whatsoever. We can do what we want. Oh Lord, that was the mistake our predecessors made, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be like that. And pray, Lord, while there is still mercy and forgiveness and graciousness and compassion, that people will avail of it. Judgment is not yet pronounced. So, Lord, there's an opportunity for us to come and to repent and to receive forgiveness. But, Lord, should we choose not to, then, Lord, what will come will be divine judgment. For some, Lord, it will be in eternity standing before you. For others, Lord, it may come in their lifetime, even on this earth. Lord, we want to be a people that are blessed by you, Lord, not a people that are shattered by you. So, Lord, let us not take this blessing that has been given to us, Lord, and Lord, to be just indifferent or apathetic towards it, Lord, or, Lord, think we are entitled to it. Lord, it comes to us, Lord, at a great price to Jesus. And to him we owe all. Lord, we started off singing this morning that chorus, our God is an awesome God, and that is the truth. He'll either come, Lord, to be our Savior, or he will come and be our judge and executioner. Lord, his desire is to come and save, and that's why he came. But if people stubbornly refuse to believe, then there's nothing but judgment awaiting, because they have rejected the offer that was offered to them. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.